Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. We've got two special guests for our second hour, but I have to say the true media road warrior is the CPA who's willing to come in and talk to us on that Saturday after tax season. So welcome to the show, Tony Rose.
Hi, Zara. How are you?
Terrific. Well, you survived the week and your team with you, right?
Absolutely.
Terrific. Well, let me give everyone a brief introduction. Tony Rose is founding partner of Rose, Snyder & Jacobs, which is a certified public accounting firm based in Southern California, and they provide tax and management consulting advice to closely held private corporations, family-owned businesses, partnerships, and the individuals who own them. A graduate of the University of Southern California and named one of the top CPAs in his area of specialty, Tony has 30 years' experience helping clients realize their outcomes, from resolving the complexities of strategic and succession planning to corporate taxation to estate and gift tax planning. Through counseling and leading multidisciplinary teams of professionals, Tony is absolutely committed to providing valuable guidance at the point where life intersects wealth. And often on the speaker circuit in his field and beyond, Tony's 2008 wise and witty book, Say Hello to the Elephants, was inspired by several clients who said the following: you really need to write your process down as it applies to helping all sorts of relationship situations, not just the ones that seem to get in the way of the health of our business. So with that, Tony, that's what we're going to talk about today. Say hello to the elephants.
Yep. Hi.
Well, I think for those who may not understand that metaphor, please give it your spin. What do you mean by the elephant?
The elephant is the thing that you know is there, that's looming right in front of you, but that you fail to address. Mm-hmm. And all of us, whether it's in a business situation or in our families or in our social situations, we all have elephants. The things that you just don't talk about, mm-hmm. The issues that you just don't confront, and they're there. You see them. They wave at you. They confront you, but you try to dodge, jump over, and avoid.
And you do everything to make it so that that elephant is comfortable in the room at the same time, right?
Well, I don't know that an elephant's ever comfortable in a room. I think what happens is that most people hope that the elephant will leave of its own volition.
Yeah.
And that generally doesn't happen.
That's right. Well, Tony, that I suspect this is a real telling metaphor for the challenges that you and your colleagues work with clients, particularly family-owned businesses, right? That everything is so intertwined so tightly.
It is. It is. Though this could apply to any situation, the situation I open up with in the book mm-hmm. Discusses a client of mine who had spent a good 25 or 30 years not planning his estate. Now, this happened to be a super wealthy guy, and he had a team of attorneys, and there was someone I knew since I got out of the university. He had a team of advisors that would put before him some terrific planning, and he would never do anything, and spent millions of dollars in professional fees, but never got anything done.
So he just wouldn't get it to the point of signature?
That's right.
They'd go through the meetings and everything.
Oh, it was great. It was great for me, not great for him,
mm-hmm.
because I got all those great fees. But what happened is that he met an attorney, a sole practitioner, who spent time with him, and nothing happened for about 18 months. And then at the end of that time, that sole practitioner came to those of us that was still on the planning team and said, hey, I think I know what's troubling this person. He, in the next 18 months, we were able to do an intergenerational wealth transfer that saved the family as a whole, and it was a large family, about $70 million in taxes. And he unfortunately died this time last year, this client of mine, and we're just resolving his estate now. And indeed, the economic impact to the family was just tremendous, but it was because one sole practitioner attorney, who was a smart person, listened.
Is that right? So what a telling example then to lead us to the conversation then around your book, the focus on the four-part process.
Yes. Well, you know what? I was embarrassed. I had been involved at that time with this particular client for about 25 years.
Wow.
And I felt under real conviction that I had failed this person, that one person working 18 months and listening could do a better job than myself and really tremendous attorneys that had represented him over the years. And I went to look out in the world there to find out if there was other people out there that believed that listening was as important as it turned out to be.
Mm-hmm.
What we do as professionals, Zara, is that we tend to have a flavor of the month that we like to tell our clients to use. We have a technique. We call it a solution looking for a problem.
Exactly.
So we spend an hour with someone and we think we know their lives, and that isn't what happened. And there's a man who's since passed away by the name of Scott Fithian, who created an organization called the Legacy Wealth Network. And it was really a network of financial service professionals, not accountants and attorneys. I was pretty much the first accountant to be involved with them, that created a process where you start by listening. And I know your guest before started discussed the fact that you really have to get to the deep inner workings of people's thoughts. And you start by listening, and they created a four-part process, which I call quadrant planning because of the four quadrants that we have. And it's a real intentional way of going about trying to figure out how to solve the problems in your life. This works for a business. It also works in a personal context as well.
So I can imagine, and of course I've read your book, but the first challenge for anybody who has to solve problems, whether they be manufacturing-related or relationship-related, is to really understand what the problem is and before you even go back to then deep dive into the root cause, right?
Yeah, there's another research that I've used over 30 years, a behaviorist by the name of Brad Spencer, Dr. Brad Spencer, who talks about the decision swamp.
Yeah.
He talks about the fact that when we see a problem, we go about immediately trying to solve it, and we end up generally getting mired because oftentimes the problem that we perceive is actually a symptom.
Yes.
And you, of course, know that. And not what the real problem is. And in our first quadrant that we call clarity, we try to spend time figuring out what the real issues are and where people really want to get to. And we do that through a series of questions that we ask them. And then we listen.
Yes, and in fact, one of my very first radio shows in 2008 was with Dr. Marilee Adams. She wrote a wonderful book called Change Your Questions, Change Your Life. And that all comes back to, you know, we're focusing on the wrong things.
We are. Part of it is that we're not necessarily introspective like we ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it's because we don't have time.
That's true.
There is so much stuff being thrown at us all the time.
Well, and also we grab for it. We want more stuff thrown at us, too. We don't know oftentimes in this day and age with technology what it is where to say stop.
Sure. The other thing is that when you start considering what it is you really want, that's where the elephant shows up.
Ah, very good. Again, for our listeners, I'm having the pleasure of Tony Rose being with us today, who wrote the book Say Hello to the Elephants. Our call-in line is 751-1041. So we've got the elephant. Now we have to get clarity around that. And that's not a short process, is it?
No, in fact, it's a longer process. And one of the things that we found is that in traditional planning for people, some time is spent on trying to identify the problem, and a long time is spent trying to identify a solution. We actually think it's reversed.
Exactly, yeah.
We think that if you spend a long time identifying the problem, then the solution oftentimes just pops right out. I've heard a number of different numbers, 400, 2,000 different techniques someone can use. 400 to 2,000 to help them in their business and financial lives. And there's a lot of choices there.
There sure are. In fact, Mark Samuel, who was with us before our conversation, Mark would tell us that our mind is probably using another 2,000 of these because it's supposed to do that, be in control and charge, and that perhaps some of this getting clarity calls for, as I know you mentioned in your book, patience, you know, fortitude and perseverance, but also space.
Yes, I agree with you. You know what? This is hard stuff. If we're looking for an easy road, you're not going to find it. But here's what I guarantee anyone that's listening, is that if they spend and invest their time, their energy, their emotions in trying to sort out, in trying to get clarity, that the rest of the process actually becomes so much easier. Part of that's because in our process, we encourage people to really get in touch with their values. And the way that you do that is by recounting and re-experiencing somewhat your past life story. In a money context, what are your earliest money memories? Mm-hmm. What was it like growing up in your family? What did money mean to them? What did your grandparents, your parents, your aunts and uncles think and say and act around money issues? But again, you can extend this. That's not my area, but you could extend it for people like you to
about dealing with change.
About dealing with change, yeah. About dealing with emotions,
exactly.
The whole thing. We actually encourage our clients to, in effect, make notes and or write about a life story.
Sure.
And think about those incidents in their lives, those people in their lives that have made a mark, and see if they can see some common threads that create the 5 to 10 core values that everyone lives by.
Mm-hmm. And which is interesting for those who follow our show is that this storytelling and digging back into our past is exactly what we do with the SEMA technique of trying to map what our motivated abilities are, is the way to mine those common threads. So this client you opened the story that you opened your book with then, that one attorney, I assume that individual did an approach like that, just went in and allowed that senior statesman of this family empire to touch back into those stories?
Yes. The funny thing is, he didn't know he was doing that. That's just the way this person is.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us have to be a little more intentional about it because it doesn't necessarily come naturally. It came naturally for him. Now, in my book, this person is a woman. It was actually, in reality, in real life, a man. But he loved to be with his clients, and he loved to be a part of their lives. And so what he did was he hung around enough to have this person open up and start telling him about what his real issues were.
Sure, and probably was, like you say, in a storytelling form, which at the same time then would reveal behaviors, right?
That's correct.
Which is really what you want to touch into.
That's correct. And once he did get in touch with what the core issue was for him, he was able to go back to the other aspects, the other people in the family, and say, you know, this is what Uncle would really like to have happen.
Mm-hmm.
And
so when
it
you're
was easy.
In terms of your quadrant thinking, and you could, you know, picture a grid, but what you're advising us is that first quadrant, not all quadrants are created equal in terms of the time or the intensity. So that first one of really getting clarity and discovering that challenge, take us then to the next step.
The next step is what we call the solutions quadrant. And the solutions quadrant involves getting together a team of people around you that are truly on your team. Now, what happens for many people is they hire professionals, and they hope that the professional is going to lead them rather than they lead the professionals.
Okay.
That creates a situation where you have people sitting around the table. In my case, it has to do with money issues, so there's generally an attorney, there's an accountant, there's an insurance person, there's an investment person. And traditionally what will happen is that you'll sit around the table, and all the different professionals will try to prove to the client how smart they are.
That's right.
And how independent they are.
Oh, yes.
And we call
how you
shooting,
need all of us.
Right. And I call that shooting scuds
okay.
towards one another. You know, we want to tell you why you're wrong, why your approach is wrong. In our solution quadrant, the client has now thought through what their intentions are and has voiced now to the whole professional team where that person wants them to be taken. I didn't say that very well.
No, I think you did. I think you did because, in fact, how I would frame it even further is what other additional value you're bringing to the party, Tony. Just as I know, as I acknowledged at the start of this show, my accountant and our financial planners, is they actually know how to set me up with the right questions so that then I will be clear with my intentions so that individuals and professionals like you can then go forward and map out the course I should take.
That's very important. The other thing is that when the client has been that clear about what they want to have happen, then that client is always in control of the process. Because the question then can always be asked, how does that get me closer to this goal?
To this goal. And that comes back to your thought, is that this is the unfulfilled dream side. So this isn't just a task that needs to be done. Let's take it up another higher level.
Oh, and this stuff works. This stuff really, really works. We did this with one client where they were talking about doing some management change where the head of the family was getting ready to retire. And unbeknownst to him, the daughter was dying to be a part of the business.
And that hadn't even surfaced. Oh, my.
That had not even surfaced. And when that surfaced, he was delighted. Mm-hmm. To have the daughter participate. And when we did a debrief with that client a year after we finished our process, he looked at me and my partner, Rebecca, and said, I had no idea I had such a brilliant daughter.
And so the elephant in the room then, what was it?
In that case, it was a very patriarchal family.
Yeah, that's right.
That never even considered
a woman.
That the women in the family were strong and smart and capable.
And in fact, I would tell you that I know this research space quite well, that is a very common challenge in family-run businesses, is to underestimate the possibility that the women would want to. And in fact, they've been schooled in the business without you even realizing it through the nature of the relationship here between father-daughter or daughter-uncle.
Exactly. And especially for that generation.
Yes.
I think people in our generation might be more open to the equality of the abilities of women. But that generation certainly never even considered it.
That said by the father who is touring his daughter around the United States right now, correct, to make her college decision.
That is true. That is true.
Well,
and a joy it was.
A joy it was. Well, getting that team around you and being discerning about that choices then. But then also, once you get the team set up, you kind of have to let go and let them go at it, right?
Well, and that's exactly what the third quadrant is, which we call implementation. And really that has to do with getting out of the way of the people that are working for you. It becomes easy because two things have happened. One, you've had terrific clarity. You know where you want them to take you. Two, you've created a team that has now demonstrated to you that what they want to do for you is what you want to have happen. So they're and you now trust them. And there's a whole, we could spend a whole
Absolutely.
Other segment on trust.
Trust, exactly.
Which I do in my book. And so now they write the documents, they do the insurance policies, they prepare to make the investments. And now when all the documents hit your desk things need to be signed, accounts need to be transferred, titles need to be changed. It's not a problem. You don't have that buyer's remorse because you're not the buyer. You are the creator.
The creator, yes. And in fact, I know that our colleagues from Loft Lopez, who's a sponsor of our show, are sitting on the line right now listening and just laughing because this is exactly the opportunity my husband and I had to partner with them, starting in this very process, not even knowing that, yes, we probably did have elephants based on our own core values that they needed to help us work through.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah. But I think you do raise a very good point, though, with that foundation of trust, what allows for professional organizations such as yours. In fact, for our listeners, this same dynamic can play inside a conventional organization, inside your relationship with your doctor or your dentist, or anyone else that you're looking to partner with in some way, is that you come to that trip point where, indeed, our financial advisors and our accountant can challenge us back and say, wait a minute, are you sure you want to go there? Because we've taken those other steps through those other quadrants you talked about that allowed them the ability then to say, hold it, this probably isn't the smartest thing for you to do.
Well, and there's a disconnect between what you say you want to have happen and the actions that you're about to take.
Very good point.
And so at that point, you've now decided what you want to do. You've decided what techniques you want to do it with. You've done it. And now we get to the fourth quadrant, which is a quadrant that a lot of professionals and a lot of people don't even think about. And that we call sustainability. Sustainability represents the fact that what we think will work does not necessarily always work.
Or it's going to have to change. The landscape's going to change, in other words.
Or the landscape
yes.
change, or it doesn't have the impact that you think it's going to have.
Oh, okay.
And you do that by inquiring. By actually looking at and comparing what you expect to have happened once you did all this stuff to what actually happened. And then you adjust.
Which tells us then, of course, that many people make plans that, as you quoted in the book, that fun acronym SMART, you have to be very specific, measurable, actionable, relevant, and time-bounded so you've got some really core result that you can put your finger on.
Well, absolutely. But then a lot of people just kind of wipe their sweaty eyebrows, their sweaty brow,
yep.
and say, oh, it's done.
It's done. I signed the documents. We're off to the races.
But it's never done. In fact, we find it a circular process, yeah. but we think it's ever increasing in value and impact. Because if you find that things aren't exactly what you want, then you start the planning process all over again.
But the good news is that you've had experience with it already once, and you can probably navigate it, at least understanding what the next steps are going to be.
Sure, because you know what? Things that are important today may not be important tomorrow.
That's absolutely true. Well, I want to thank our special guest here for this segment was Tony Rose, a very well-regarded certified public accountant in Los Angeles. His special book, do pick it up, folks. Say hello to the elephants.
Available on Amazon.
Amazon, absolutely. And Tony, thanks so much for your time, and have fun recuperating from April 15th.
Thanks a lot.
Terrific. We'll talk to you real soon. Take care.
Happy weekend to all of you.
Likewise. Change is chaotic, that is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.